saving money on everything for your next project at Menards. Update your home with Palmero Vinyl Plank Flooring. It provides a genuine, weathered wood look that complements any decor and clicks together for easy installation. It's waterproof, scratch and dent resistant, making it perfect for active households. Save big money on our wide variety of flooring options at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back. Top of the hour, 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 Central. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Plenty of fantasy football discussion coming up, as well as some basketball as well. I'm Craig Mish. George Kurtz today in for Davis Maddock as we continue on here on the show, George. It is a Tuesday coming off Monday Night Football. We get that like 24-hour breather, and then Wednesday we're usually right back at it again with waiver wire and pick up again. And listen, it's been a really wild season, to say the least. You know, a lot of things have happened this season that nobody would expect. And you mentioned previously in the last hour, James Conner for MVP of fantasy. Like, who would have thought these things? I guess it just goes to show you at the beginning of the year, things that we think we know, we really don't.
Yeah, it's, you said it earlier, it's a one-week league, right? Everything changes week to week here. Teams look good one week, terrible the next week. All these buys, all the injuries that change everything. And some teams are just better at dealing with injuries than others. I mean, it's really what it comes down to. Some teams, they lose one guy, they fall apart. Another team, like I said, the Arizona Cardinals lost Murray, Green, Hopkins, Edmonds pretty much didn't play the entire game. Four of their top offensive players, maybe their top four offensive players, and they handled San Francisco easily. Easily. Wasn't even a contest there. So it's a strange league, but also it's what we love. What's the old saying? The games aren't played on paper. All right? It's what we love because we don't know what's going to go on. We like to think we do, but we have educated guesses, but it doesn't always work out anywhere near how we thought it would.
No, definitely not. All right, let's get to our headlines here. Top of the hour. Here on this Tuesday, November 9th, we've got Kansas, Michigan State tonight in college basketball, Kentucky, Duke, NCAA basketball tipping off tonight. This should be exciting. Also, three games tonight in the MAC in college football. The second week in a row of this. This will continue on throughout the rest of the season. Also, the Blazers, Clippers tonight. That headlines three games in the NBA this evening, so a short slate there. Alex Ovechkin ties Brett Hull. Fourth all-time in goals scored in NHL history. Ovechkin, of course, of Washington's had a fantastic career. You know, George, we have not touched much on baseball and baseball free agency, which is obviously going to affect fantasy to a big degree. We had one signing yesterday with Andrew Heaney going to Los Angeles. Yesterday, Davis and I talked about some different players, qualifying offers. You know, rumors right now don't mean a heck of a lot because we still don't have a new CBA. We don't know if there's a DH in the National League. But needless to say, over the next few weeks, we're going to start to have new faces in new places. And, you know, hot stove, hard to kick off without knowing which kind of rules are going to be in place for both leagues. But my guess over the next month, we'll have some players decide, hey, I don't want to have to wait to get paid. Let me sign right now.
I also wonder if we have some players sign because they don't know what the new salary cap rule is going to be, luxury cap. You know, is it going to go up, going to go down, is it going to get rid of, are they going to get rid of the qualifying offers altogether, which whatever they might do here. So I do wonder if maybe certain big names will sign earlier rather than later. Wait, as you said, assuming there is a lockout on December 12th, which we're all assuming is going to be, even if you're an optimist, all right, that lockout's going to last till mid-February. There's no reason for them to unlock it, unlock it until spring training starts. And then you'd have a mass of free agents, right? Every free agent on earth would be there, which then some teams will just play the game here. Let's wait everything out here. I'll take the last guy available. So I wonder if you're going to see some guys signing for maybe not as much. Take a Carlos Correa, who if he, in a normal year, might get somewhere close to what Lindor got, $341 million. But maybe he'll take $280 now because he doesn't want to wait and play the game. Okay, now I'm going to be there. Correa, Seager, Baez, Story, Semien. I'm sorry, I left somebody out too, the shortstop market. So I do wonder if it could play out that way. It probably won't. These guys generally wait to try and get suck out every last dime they can. But I do wonder if maybe some of the lesser free agents would sign, thinking, I don't want to wait till this frenzy happens in mid-February. Like I said, if you're an optimist, Craig, I can't see how we don't have at least 2 months of a lockout. You know, December, January, into mid-February. There's just no reason for them not to lock them out. You know, whether you think it's right or wrong, that's just the way the game is played.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more optimistic just based on what I'm hearing, but you know, I certainly understand the point of view on that. Things have never gone well with this before, so why would it now? Also, I think the lockout could start December 2nd, if I'm not mistaken. You know, so that's you know, kind of coming up real quick. I'm supposed to go to the winter meetings in Orlando if there are a winter meeting. So we'll just have to see if that plays out and which way it does. In terms of the qualifying offers with baseball, Michael Conforto was the name that Chris mentioned there. He declined that. I was a little surprised there. And I know that everyone's talking about Clayton Kershaw, not being offered anything by LA. But clearly, I think Georgie's got to be seriously hurt. LA is not that silly to let their best pitcher, one of their best pitchers of all time, just walk.
Yes, I thought the same thing when I saw that. Yeah, they know Kershaw's medical history better than anyone, other than probably Kershaw, right? And if they didn't give him the $18.4 million, that lets you know things probably aren't going to go well there. Or even if they think he's going to be able to start, that, you know, no way he can make more than 20, 22 starts, and they don't want to pay the $18.4 for that. I do wonder if they'll come to an agreement, you know, a smaller agreement for 1 year with an option, something like that. Or if he's going, I said, if he doesn't start sign with them, I think he's going back to Texas. The Rangers, where his hometown is, that wouldn't shock me either. But that raised a lot of red flags when the Dodgers let him go.
It definitely did. We'll talk more baseball throughout the winter as that kind of heats up with the hot stove. Of course, primarily it's fantasy football season, so we continue on with that. Also, opening night tonight in college basketball. So for those of you over on FanDuel, you can put a DFS lineup in tonight. And good thing we have Brett Levy to help us with that, because I am clueless, so I'm going to be leaning on him for that next. We'll also hit on the big NBA story for those of you in season-long leagues with Nikola Jokic. I don't know. You may not have him the rest of the week, and who knows how long after what happened last night. We'll get down to that coming up next, right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Day. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The big story in the NBA from Monday night, no question, was the incident that happened between Miami and Denver in a very, very heated finish to the game last night, where essentially Markieff Morris of the Miami Heat fouled Nikola Jokic pretty hard, and then Jokic retaliated in a way that you almost never see, which is basically running after the player and pushing him down from behind. Morris was on the court for a long period of time before he ended up getting up and coming off the court. But it is the hot topic today in the NBA. And also we'll discuss with Brett Levy coming up in a couple of minutes what this means maybe for the Nuggets moving forward. Will there be a suspension of any kind? But here was Jokic's take on his pushing of Morris down to the court after the hard foul that he received last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's... It's a stupid play, you know. I feel bad. I'm not supposed to react that way, but it's in the middle of the game. I got hit. I saw him, but I didn't even like. I thought it was just gonna be like a take foul, you know. So and he kind of bumped me, and I was like, that was a little bit like he. I think it was a dirty play, and then I just needed to protect myself. I felt it bad. I'm not supposed to react that way. First of all, to not get thrown out of the game, I cannot help my team win the game, which is the most important thing. But it happens. I feel bad. I'm not supposed to react that way, but you know, either way, I need to protect somehow myself. You know, probably if I didn't react that way, it wouldn't be even a flagrant foul or whatever. So it was just in a moment of. Whatever, adrenaline, you know, running up and down, you're just, it's reaction.
Interesting reaction for sure. We're going to get Brett's thoughts on Nikola Jokic coming up in just a minute. But before we do that, of course, there's two sides to every story. And the other side of this is on the side of the Miami Heat. They felt that Morris was blindsided from behind, spent a long time on the court. Stretcher came out. Morris was able to get off the court after about 15 or 20 minutes. And the head coach of the Miami Heat, Eric Spoelstra, was just hopeful that Morris was not seriously hurt.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we just want to make sure that Keith, you know, was and is okay. You know, we'll find out more. He's moving around, you know, right now in the locker room. But that was a very dangerous, dirty play. I thought Keith took a foul. And it was, you know, one of those fast break take fouls. And he did with his shoulder. You might deem that, you know, maybe as a little bit more, you know, than just slapping somebody. But after I watched it on film, it was a take foul. You know, that's how I saw it. And the play, you know, after that, that's just absolutely uncalled for. And it would have looked a lot different. This whole thing could have been a whole lot uglier if Markieff was actually facing Jokic. You know, the fact that he had his back turned and he made a play like that, you know, blindsiding him, that's just a very dangerous play.
All right, Brett, you've had the experience here seeing these sort of things happen in the NBA. No doubt it got real heated. Let's hit the reality of it first. Who was in the wrong in this spot? And then let's get to what you think the NBA does in terms of Jokic. Do you think he misses any time? If you have him in your season-long NBA fantasy lineups, is it time to put him on the bench and play somebody else the rest of the week?
Well, I think they'll probably both be suspended, maybe Morris for a game, maybe Jokic for two or three, but it won't be anything too crazy. Yeah, I think Markieff Morris obviously hit him. Jokic took exception to the way the foul was given, Craig, and you know, you get an incident like this. But you know, if this was the 90s, they're probably both still on the floor, right? So it just shows how much the game has changed and how different it is today.
For sure. But do you think that Jokic, like, I guess the easy thing is that let's just play it out here. You have Jokic in a season-long fantasy basketball lineup, Brett. And you have the, you know, you have to make your call, let's say, by tonight, because not everybody played last night. Are you taking him out preemptive? Do you think the NBA absolutely suspends him for more than one game?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the lucky thing is, you know, most season longs you set your lineup daily. So you'll have an idea, you know, before the game, do I take Jokic out? But I would assume he's getting probably one more game than Markieff Morris. So if Markieff Morris gets two, he probably gets three. Or, like, you know, if he gets one, Jokic will get two. So I think it'll kind of be based off that. But they're going to probably get the guy who, you know, started the fight for a slightly less punishment, and the guy who escalated the fight for the slightly greater punishment would be my guess.
And social media is blowing up with this. The Jokic brothers are going after Morris's brother online. You could just follow this stuff happening, it seems like, by the minute right now. The fan bases of Denver and Miami are fighting, too. It's just all over the place. All right. So from hate to love, let's do it, Brett. We got college basketball back tonight. I can't sit here and tell you that I am fully prepared for this upcoming college basketball season. I know who's in the, you know, the top four. I know that there are some big games tonight. I also, if I'm not mistaken, the new era begins in Chapel Hill, I think. Isn't Hubert Davis the new head coach there for North Carolina? So I believe that that's on deck as well. So before we get to the DFS angle of college basketball, you know, certainly this is a very meaningful upcoming season, without a doubt. You get the full season in of all the kids playing. It feels like, you know, the COVID stuff will be very similar to the NFL and college football, not as much affected that we saw last year. What are your thoughts on this upcoming season before we get to the DFS?
Yeah, I mean, it should be a great year. It's going to be a lot of fun. Gonzaga, obviously the favorite. UCLA bringing everyone back from Final Four team a year ago. Then you've got Kentucky, who is big in the transfer market this year. Normally they got all the freshmen's, Craig. And yeah, you hit on it. Hubert Davis taking over at North Carolina. This is Coach K's last season on the sidelines for Duke, as John Shire will take over. So lots of exciting stuff happened in college basketball this year. I can't wait.
All right. So with that being said, if you're playing daily fantasy sports over on FanDuel tonight, We have the opportunity to set a lineup, Brett. So let's go ahead. Tell me who you got with your first four.
Yeah, so we mentioned Kentucky starting with a lot of transfers this year. Sevier Wheeler coming over was the leading scorer at Georgia a year ago. He's now going to be starting at guard next to Kellen Grady, a Davidson transfer for the Wildcats. Ty Washington also going to play big minutes. He's a big-time freshman coming in. But I'll take Wheeler tonight, a little bit more of a veteran in this spot at MSG. And then Max Christie, a big-time recruit for Tom Izzo at Michigan State. He comes in as a true freshman, one of the best pure shooters in the class, Craig. So look for him to hit a few threes. Chris Likes, a Miami transfer going to Arkansas. J.D. Davison, the other Arkansas guard, he's a true freshman. Both of them big-time scorers, Craig, so I'm looking for points more so than assists from them. And then from my forward spots, I'm going right back to the Garden. I'm taking two Duke forwards, Wendell Moore Jr. and A.J. Griffin. Obviously, Duke, tons of freshman talent this year. Wendell Moore, upperclassman, best shooter on Duke's team. He'll get a lot of looks from three. I also think he'll get the ball a lot in his hands. A.J. Griffin, I'm a little biased, Craig. He's from White Plains, New York, so I got to root for that guy coming out of my hometown. And then Kenneth Lofton Jr., a little-known player from Louisiana Tech, surprised a lot of people this summer, Craig. He's a name to watch in college basketball this year. And Remy Martin coming over from Arizona State for Kansas. Those are the guys I'm riding with tonight.
All right. Thanks, Brett. We'll check back in later in the week and get more daily fantasy info on college basketball. George will join me back here next. Back to fantasy football we go. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Going to touch on some players who are headed back from injured reserve. If they're on your injured reserve spot in fantasy football, you may want to check that out, get them off that. In my league in particular, if you have a player on injured reserve and he ends up playing, you have a choice to either lose the player or lose the spot for the rest of the season. So get ready for that this upcoming week. Before we get to that real quick, George, of course, the Ravens and Dolphins preparing for Thursday night, both teams talking today, because it's a normal week for them, or an abnormal week, I should say, for them. So they are talking. Hey, Brian Flores, about 20 minutes ago, George said, he's the head coach of the Dolphins. He said that if the game was today, for some odd reason, that Tua would not start at quarterback for the Dolphins upcoming against the Baltimore Ravens on Thursday. Now, the swelling in his left hand and his finger is down, and he still has 2 days to get right, but certainly you know, optimism level isn't nearly as high after hearing that, I guess, right now. And nine turnovers between Miami and Houston this past week. Miami has their hands full against Baltimore Thursday, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think if you're Miami, you have to be looking long-term here, right? Long-term health of Tua here. You're not going anywhere this year. You're 2-7, last place in the AFC East. The game's in 2 days. Are you going to rush him back for this game? I know it was ugly. If you watched that Miami-Houston game on Sunday, it was ugly with all the turnovers today. It was bad. It was bad, bad football. It set the offenses back years, if not decades. Do you rush Tua back? You're going to tell me he's going to be completely healthy in 2 days with the hand injury? I don't see it. You hold him out of this game, you give him 2 more weeks. You give him 2 more weeks, they'll get fully healthy for the next game. So that's what I expect to happen here. I don't expect Tua to play here. I don't know. At this point, Craig, I don't know if Tua is the quarterback next year in Miami. I'm starting to think no. You know, all these injuries keep mounting up here. We know Ross, the owner there, he wanted Deshaun Watson. He was very much interested at the deadline in Deshaun Watson, pulled away at the last minute because he wanted all the complaints to go away. I don't know how you make a criminal complaint go away. He could have made the civil ones, I guess, go away by paying whatever price they wanted to pay. But you can't make, you know, what are you going to tell the DA? All right, I want these done. Doesn't work that way. So it was never going to happen by the NFL trade deadline here. But I don't think Tua is going to be the Miami Dolphins starting quarterback next year. I think it's unfortunate. I don't think he's been given much of a chance, but everything that could go wrong has pretty much gone wrong for Tua, really, since he's come into the NFL.
Yeah, it's been tough for sure. Having these rumors all season for sure has definitely hurt. And their offensive line is basically graded out the worst in the NFL. So I don't know that Miami accomplished anything, for this season, to be honest with you, George. I mean, it's just been a disaster. They got to get this guy. I think personally, I think the opposite of you. I think they got to get him on the field so they could get this figured out for the rest of the season. But doing that may not have it figured out. Will Fuller has a finger issue, has not played in a month. Like, I mean, you can't make this stuff up with Miami this year for sure. Okay, so back to the IR discussion we go. That's a nice thing if your league has a player that you can stash. We're going to talk about two different ones here. The first we're going to hit on is Chris Carson, the running back of Seattle, who I don't even think people remember is still in the NFL by now. He's been out for so long. He hasn't played since week four, and his neck injury just kind of snuck up on people, and he's been out. And George, they've been, you know, sort of using different players at different times at running back. None of them have really, I would say, established themselves. Collins has played a little bit. DJ Dallas has played a little bit. Homer has played a little bit. But we know how much Carroll loves Carson, and he will get his chance this week to return against the Green Bay Packers. We still don't know the quarterbacking situation on the side of Green Bay. We believe that Russell Wilson will be back on the side of Seattle. So is it just as simple as get him off your IR and put him in your lineup this week? Because the state of running back sort of tells me that that's the direction we go here.
More than likely, but this is a weird situation because we've heard so many different things about Carson, right? Neck injury, going to be out a little bit, day to day at one point. It's ended up being month to month here. And then the season might be over because of the neck injury. Carson was worried about it, all right? And then all of a sudden, no, he's going to come back. But, you know, if he's going to play this week, Greg, he has not been designated to return from IR yet, which has to happen before he can practice with the team. You know, like I said, today's the first day of practice. They can designate him to return at any time, you know, so maybe they'll do that today. Maybe he'll do it tomorrow. We don't know. It's just weird what's going on here with him.
Yeah.
So, listen, if you have Carson on your IR and he plays this week, I can't see how you're not starting him. Once again, you'd have to be much deeper and better at running back than I am in my leagues because I don't have Carson anyway. But if I did, he's starting for me. I can't see how I'm not starting. It goes up against the Green Bay team. That's not the greatest defense here. We think points are going to be put up on the board in this game anyway. So if Carson starts for Seattle, he starts for me. I mean, it's weird. We've criticized Seattle over and over again because what do they do too much of? It seems like they run too much. They don't let Russell Wilson cook, which is what we've been waiting for. They've been criticized this for years almost. And then I'm also curious what's going to happen here. I think Seattle's going to be in play for Odell Beckham when he clears waivers at 4 o'clock. I do not expect anyone to claim him, you know, not with a $7.5 million salary. And if they were to get Odell, what does that mean? Are they going to throw the ball more now? I don't think Odell will be a big factor this season. I don't. But what that means is that they want to throw the ball more now. Will Carson not handle his normal workload now? Will he not be the goal line back to protect the neck somewhat? You know, short yardage guys, you don't want you banging into all those guys that are, you know, within a yard of the line of scrimmage at the goal line, that sort of thing. So I have some concerns here, but bottom line is this. I'm not in a position where I can't start him. Maybe someone else is. Maybe you can take a wait-and-see approach and, you know, bench him this week, assuming he does come back, because you have good running backs. I'm not there. He would start for me, yes.
Yeah, no, I think you have to. I mean, I just don't think that there's enough options in the NFL to not consider it. But George makes really good points. We got to wait to see if he's activated, and we'll know that on Wednesday. All right, let's move over to Dallas, where the receiver production, to say the least, George, has been very hit or miss. Part of this is Dak missed a game. Part of this was last week, where Dak essentially missed three quarters of a game. I mean, he basically didn't play well until the fourth quarter. And it's been a mixed bag, to say the least, with CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper. Very hard to predict who's going to do what on any given week. But Michael Gallup will return to Dallas, or can return. And, man, it has been since week one. I didn't even realize it's been that long. Four receptions, 36 yards, and seven targets. Look, the players that Dallas have been playing, if it's any indication, Davis, Wilson, I think, is one of them, right, if I'm not mistaken, and then the other kid who caught a couple touchdowns this past week. The way that I look at this, Davis, is that I don't think this is going to affect – I'm sorry, George. My gosh. I don't think this is going to affect the two receivers between CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, but I do think that it will affect the other players that are playing for Dallas with Gallup being out.
Yeah, no worries, by the way. I'm pretty sure I called you Brett earlier, or I called Brett Craig, whatever. Yeah, we are even. I'll answer to anything. It's all right. I live with four women, man. I get called many worse names. So no issues here. Dallas is an interesting situation because Gallup is a damn good wide receiver. And if he didn't play with two receivers who are probably better than him in Cooper and Lamb, we would hear more about him even when he's in there. Now, you're 100% correct. Dak was terrible last week. Again, I should say 2 days ago against Denver, right? He was overthrowing everybody. Just didn't have a good game. Rust, whatever it might have been. But you can make an argument here that Dallas' most important player, not Dak, not Zeke, not Lamb, it's Tyron Smith, the left tackle. He missed that game. And the pressure was on Dak almost from the word go, right? Denver's defensive line was getting in there. Dallas, they don't know if they'll have Tyron Smith back this week. The difference is Atlanta doesn't really have those pass rushers probably to get after him. But Dallas, if Tyron Smith doesn't play, is sort of playing it on the fly as who's going to play left tackle. Last week, they decided to move their right tackle to left tackle and then have their former right tackle, who got suspended, play right tackle again. So they're mixing things up all over the place to try and make up for Tyron Smith. Tyron Smith has a bone spur in his ankle. You know, it's a pain tolerance issue here, whether he can go or not. So we'll see if he's going to play. But that's a big loss for the Cowboys. It's also my belief this, Greg. I think Amari Cooper is done in Dallas at the end of the season. He's injured a lot. He's always questionable to play here. But more importantly, they can get out of his contract and save about $20 million against the cap. And Michael Gallup needs to be re-signed. And he won't cost that much. Not 20. Maybe half that $10, $12 million. But I think they want to get him on the contract, save that cap room for other players because Dallas is going to have some cap issues next year. So I think Cooper's playing his last season in Dallas here. I think they want to groom Gallup to be that guy along with Lamb. And you mentioned Cedric Wilson, who's played so well, but he's a free agent as well. I don't think he's coming back because they can't afford all these guys. But Dallas has a wealth of riches at wide receiver here, which is going to make it frustrating to fantasy owners because you don't know which is going to be the guy that week. Who's going to be the big play guy? You know, it's going to frustrate owners here. Dak will play better, though, this week.
I mean, look, he can't play any worse, George. The first three quarters of that game.
I left that out.
I think he had four fantasy points. I mean, it didn't end up winning the game for me, but I remember texting my co-owner, like, wow, we got 18 points somehow out of Dak this week. Like, after three quarters, it was a zero. I would imagine that the game would be better. And, George, I didn't realize that that in 2 weeks on Thanksgiving Day, 2 weeks from Thursday, I guess it is, Raiders-Cowboys. That feels like a decent game. Like it feels like a game where Dallas is big favorites, but it's a lot closer than people think, right?
I don't think they would be big favorites. Certainly won't be with 9.5 to head over Denver. Now that's the Raiders fall
seven.
Apart. I was thinking 6.5. 6.5, 7 is where I was going with that. I think they'll be favorites. They usually are on Thanksgiving, as most home teams are on the Thursday game, right? Short week. It's also a holiday here. Although the last time Dallas played the Raiders, I believe it was also on Thanksgiving, and my meal didn't go down well. Pretty sure the Raiders handled their business pretty easily against the Cowboys in that game here. So we'll see. You know, with Thanksgiving and the Cowboys, you never know with these games. You just don't hear. Dallas, I think, is the better team. Raiders have a lot of problems. They have just signed DeSean Jackson, by the way, right? They signed him yesterday to sort of replace Ruggs and a deep threat there. We'll see. We'll see what happens here with the Cowboys. I still I was trusting them for a while, Craig. Now I'm not so much again.
Yeah, I think you're fine. I think you'll be good. I think Dallas is – I don't know that Dallas is winning a Super Bowl, and I don't know if they're winning the NFC Championship game, but I think they're going – further than they normally do. At least it looks like that to me. Okay, Fantasy or Reality is coming up next as we continue on here on this Tuesday. Also, a quick reminder, tomorrow on the show, Davis, not George, but Davis and George will be hosting this show tomorrow. Be right back. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. A real quick recap of arguably the top story of the fantasy day, which is the Cleveland Browns running back Nick Chubb placed on the COVID injured list at this point. And George, this is obviously a huge story for fantasy. Chubb had such a fantastic week last week. I believe, as you mentioned, he is vaccinated, so he will still have about 5 days to test negative twice. And if he can, then he can play Sunday, but clearly one of those negative tests is going to have to be on Saturday before that Sunday game with Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen maybe once this year with a player who tested positive early in the week. Has he recovered in time for the game on Sunday? I think that was Dallas Goedert offhand here. Other than that, no one's really been able to get those two negative tests in time for the game Sunday. That being said, you said he got 5 days. We did find out early this week, so maybe, but the whole room was hit, right? I mean, Chubb was hit, Kelly was hit, and Demetric Felton was hit. Darnus Johnson not hit. And you said something earlier in the week, by the way, which I know is probably early in the show, which I know is infuriating some owners. They had Darnus Johnson. You spent a pretty good penny on him. You probably released him last week because you had the other coverages. No, Chubb's back. Don't need him anymore. And now you may have to go out and spend money on him again. Yeah, that would really make my day. Just have to go do that twice. I got to spend on this guy because I didn't keep him. And you probably thought about keeping him too. So he's healthy. He's going to play. But I'm going to be careful with him this week. I said Bill Belichick likes to take away what the offense does best and what the other team does best on offense, and that's run the ball here. I don't think he's gonna make Baker Mayfield beat him, not Darnus Johnson or Nick Chubb or Kareem Hunt or anybody else. Ernest Biner, Kevin Mack aren't beating him on Sunday.
Yeah. Also, by the way, Cleveland on the road in New England on Sunday. So hypothetically speaking, I would guess he's got a test negative Saturday morning before getting on a plane. Although I suppose they could just fly him to New England if they wanted to. But we'll cover that and, of course, keep you updated on that. George and Davis will have more on Chubb's situation tomorrow. For now, let's wrap up our show today with some fantasy or reality.
All right. Well, last night, the baseball writers announced the finalists for all their postseason awards. And we've talked about it a few times throughout the season, but the AL Cy Young race has been very interesting all year long. The finalists include Gerrit Cole, who had some down stretches and also got caught with some spider tack. Then there was Lance Lynn, who had an up and down year himself, also battled some injuries throughout. And Robbie Ray kind of came out of nowhere, signed a one-year deal a year ago with Toronto and pitched pretty well. So, George, we'll start with you for this one. Robbie Ray will win the AL Cy Young Award. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I think this race did go down to the wire. One of the few that generally that happens. Generally, we know for a while now who's going to win the award. But this one did go down to the wire. And it's not Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn didn't pitch all that well the last 6-8 weeks of the season here. He really fell off the planet. Had an injury in there as well. So it won't be Lance Lynn. It was between Ray and Cole. All right. And neither one pitched all that well last week either. The problem was I think Cole needed to have one more good game. One more good game. He pitched against Toronto. He got lit up. Another game he got lit up. He just didn't pitch well. I think he had the hamstring injury that he pitched through. I mean, Yankee fan, the Yankee fans wanted to see him pitch through it. I know I did. He tried, didn't pitch well. Didn't pitch well in the wild card game either. That didn't matter, mind you. Against Boston, as that doesn't take effect as far as this voting is concerned. I think it's Ray who is going to win the award. What a great one-year signing by the Blue Jays here. So I'm going with reality here that it will be Robbie Ray over Cole. Because I think even if it was close, Craig, the fact that the spider attack thing or whatever, using glue, whatever, I think that hurts Cole as well. Granted, they were probably all using something, mind you. But the fact that his was so out there hurts Cole here as well here. Robbie Ray, reality.
You know, it's interesting that I hadn't thought about the whole spider attack thing. I forgot about that. I mean, I was told back in April, George, this was going to be the story of the season, and it just kind of went away. Like in May, we just weren't hearing about it anymore. And you're right, Lance Lynn is not winning. So it does come down to Ray and Cole and George. I'm going to side with you here. I'm going to say reality. You know, sometimes we like stories in sports, and Ray happens to be a really good story, too. So I think that only adds to the narrative of him winning. And the way that he has come on over the course of his career has just kind of been incredible. I mean, no one had this guy. I mean, I was at the game, his first game that he pitched with Toronto after he was traded from Arizona to Toronto, thinking, oh my gosh, they're using this guy George out of the bullpen. Like, oh, who knows about his career? I didn't take him in any fantasy league this year. And boy, was I completely wrong. Ray will be a very coveted free agent. I don't know how Toronto can afford to let him go. I think that they got to make a big push, but who knows? Some team with big pockets maybe steps in and gets him. I got this as a pretty easy reality, by the way. The AL Cy Young is going to be Robbie Ray. And I know they're pushing this narrative of maybe Zach Wheeler in the NL, but I mean, I think Corbin Burnes is the Cy Young of the NL, without a doubt for me in 2021. So these names come out, George, and everyone wants to throw different reasons for it, but I think you hit it. And definitely Spider Tack one's interesting too. Forgot about that little thing there. Ray's going to win the Cy Young. Reality for me, Brett.
All right. Well, our next one, we're turning over to the NFL, Coach of the Year Award race. And actually, Craig, there was some line movement from the time I put this in the rundown, because Cliff Kingsbury and Brandon Staley were actually co-favorites when I put this in the rundown. But now Cliff Kingsbury is the favorite all by himself. Other candidates include Mike Vrabel, Matt LaFleur, Mike McCarthy, Sean Payton, as names that people are considering towards the top. But we'll start with you for this one. Cliff Kingsbury of the Arizona Cardinals should be the favorite for NFL Coach of the Year. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yes, he should be the favorite. I have very much doubted Kingsbury's ability to coach this team and do a good job, but I think after last week, and I don't care who they played, with all those players that George alluded to being out, you gotta say that at this point he is the clear favorite. Brandon Staley inherited a really good team, and he has sort of transcended the NFL a little bit, going for fourth down, but guess what? That's sort of evening out now. Teams know he's going for it. He's not getting the fourth downs just as much. I would say yes, NFL Coach of the Year, he's the favorite. And by the way, as we're going through it, George, it doesn't really even feel like there's a second place. So what I would do on FanDuel, and I don't know if the name exists here, and I don't even know his name, but what I would take a shot with, and it's probably not going to happen, is this Raiders coach who took over. I mean, who knows? I mean, they would love to stick it to Gruden and give this guy on the Raiders the NFL Coach of the Year if somehow they were able to run off like 6 or 7 wins in a row. That would be the only other name right now that I would even consider, because remember, he's already got 2 wins under his belt in his first 2 games as coach there. So reality on that front.
Rich Bisaccia is the name of the Raiders guy. Thank here. I think they'd have to go on one hell of a run for him to win this award here. Although it's kind of great, though, if they did, and they really do stick at the good by giving him the award. Listen, I agree. Actually, the whole time you were talking, I'm trying to find a second place. I am really find the second place. It's not LaFleur on Green Bay. We thought they would win the division. McCarthy on Dallas, same thing. It was either them or Washington that were going to win the division. How about this? If the Patriots make the playoffs.
Good one. Yeah.
It depends on what his record is. Right now, it's clearly Kingsbury. Clearly Kingsbury, because when you think about the NFC West, did anyone pick the Cardinals to win the division? Anybody?
No.
Think about it. It was we love the Rams and all the moves they were making. Stafford, blah, 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 and all the top players they had. San Fran, they're healthier now. They're going to be good against Seattle and Russell Wilson. The Cardinals are like, maybe the Cardinals. Maybe. But no one was really putting them in the first place outside of Arizona fans. All right, so I think that's why he's such a head there. But you think about Belichick. He's doing it with a rookie quarterback. And his rookie quarterback was the last one taken as far as the first-round rookies. Playing the best out of all of them. He's playing better than Wilson, better than Lawrence, better than Fields, and Lance can barely get on the field, right? Playing better than all of them. He has no skill position players. None, nil, nada. And yet they're winning ball games with him. And maybe winning ugly sometimes, but they're winning ball games with him. They're 5-4. They probably should have beaten Dallas, and maybe Bill would have trusted Mac Jones a little bit more there. They're only a half game behind Buffalo. Maybe they fall apart. They do got to play Buffalo twice here. But I'll give you Bill Belichick, which I can't believe I'm saying this, by the way. And that was the worst outfit ever that Bill could wear at a stadium on Sunday. Well, who made that decision for you, Bill? I mean, I don't know what you're trying to prove there with that sweat outfit. I don't dress like that, and I dress like a complete bum normally. But Bill Belichick, I think, would be an interesting choice should the Patriots make the playoffs. But right now, Oil Kingsbury.
All right. Our last question. I guess it's kind of hockey related, George. Kenan Thompson was Goldberg in the movie The Mighty Ducks, so there you go. But he's now on SNL, and he does a really good job there. And he's going to be the host of the People's Choice Awards. So, George, we'll start with you for this one. Kenan Thompson will be a good award show host. Is this a fantasy or reality?
I got to put my glasses on here because I don't know who this guy is. So maybe it can seem a little clearer.
Yeah, I had a feeling that was coming.
Yeah, I don't know who it is offhand, so I can't help you there. The Mighty Ducks, I'm not even sure I ever saw the movie with Emilio Estevez. Only thing I know about that is he's not in the new TV show now because he's saying it's creative differences. They're saying it's a vaccination policy, whatever. So I have no idea here. Reality, sure, why not? I don't watch any of these award shows anyway. I don't watch the ESPYs for sports. I don't care about them. I really don't. All right, I don't even care about the Cy Young and the MVP. I think that's all political nowadays anyway, where people vote, these writers vote for people who have no business doing it. I lost interest in that when you would hear about that. You hear about guys who have no business getting a vote that get a vote. So I don't care. Good luck to him. I'm sure he'll do a good job, but honestly, don't care. So reality, why not?
I mean, George, you mean to tell me you have not watched Saturday Night Live in 20 years? Really? Not once?
Not since the days of Murphy, Chevy Chase. Those kind of guys. Every now and then, maybe a skit here and there. If I hear it's funny, I might see it on social media. But he might look familiar to me, but no, I haven't seen it in forever.
Yeah, he's the longest running host in the – or I'm sorry, longest running person, actor, on Saturday Night Live ever. Kenan Thompson. Ever. All the other guys that you could think of through the years. He is the longest ever. Yes, Kenan Thompson is very good, very funny. The skits that he is in, I think are some of the best. And I think that he'll do a really nice job. I'm actually happy to see that they gave him this opportunity there. But I'm not very much into award shows, but maybe this is one that I will definitely have to check out. Okay, for those of you who are leaving us for the day, hope you have a great rest of your day here on this Tuesday. If you're sticking with us, we got the Sports Grid 60 coming up next. And as a programming reminder, set you up for the rest of the week like I always do, for those of you who watch us daily. Tomorrow on the show, George Kurtz, Davis Maddock. I'll be back with Davis on Thursday and Friday. And then don't forget, for those of you who need last-minute advice in fantasy football, every Sunday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern, it is myself, Joe Pizzapia, and Matt Stryker here on the show as we host Fantasy Sports Today. Also, the president and general manager of the Atlanta Braves, Alex Anthopoulos, is going to be on our show this week. I believe we're going to get that done for you tomorrow, and we will air that on Thursday for you. So looking forward to having the World Series champion general manager on our show. We'll be right back. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. As we wrap up the show, we can only wonder how we end today with our friend George Kurtz and his version of the Sports Grid 60.
Yeah, Craig, I'm going back to something we talked about at the top of the show, and that's the taunting rule in the NFL. This needs to go away. I mean, there's jobs on the line here. With stuff like that. Wins are important in the NFL, and I think one was taken away from the Chicago Bears last night. And this is not the first time this season that I think a taunting rule has determined a win or a lack of a win. I get the idea of it. And this is not a new rule, by the way. People think this is a new rule. It's not. It's on the books. It's just being enforced this year, heavily enforced. Listen, I get it. You don't want players yelling nasty things at each other because it could start fights. I understand that. But you got to give the refs some discretion here. to be a listen, cut it out, enough, one more word, that sort of thing, and give a penalty. Just you say something, you're throwing the flag right away. I'm not even talking about the ridiculous flag last night. That's a completely different sports grid, 60 with Tony Corrente, what he was doing. I'm talking about the general flags. It's hurting the game. Something is wrong in my mind when the players on the field aren't the ones who are determining games. It's the voice of certain players who are determining the game. The fish is going, oh, nope, that's not good. You can't say that. You get a flag. It's got to go away.
All right, I'll end with this. I learned a little bit more about myself yesterday as I'm getting older. Still having fun playing fantasy football, but definitely not taking losses to heart. I mean, you're up 20. I'm up 20 points in a fantasy league playing against Pat Freiermuth, and I lose, you know? Like, those things 10 years ago, I would have not slept. I would have been up till 2 in the morning thinking about it. What happened? How did I lose? That's a bunch of nonsense. I'm sort of over it at this point. What happens, happens in fantasy sports. It's better to be lucky than good, honestly, in fantasy football. And last night, I was unlucky. Thank you to our friends over at LTN. Thanks to Spencer for helping out today, as he always does here on Tuesdays. Of course, thank you to Danny and Ryan as well, and Brett Levy. And, of course, my co-host today, George Kurtz. For George, I'm Craig. I'll see you Thursday. George will be here tomorrow. Great.
There are a lot of sports talk networks out there, but we're the one that gives you actionable insights on gaming, odds,
and more.
The other